So I'm going to move on now to talk about the purification of doubt, the fourth purification. So why is freedom frightening? Why can it be frightening? I think that in some ways everything new and beyond our present experience is frightening. The unknown is frightening. For this reason, even while perhaps with our purification of view, we've knocked a big hole in one of our prison walls, we may still not want to leave the compound. We become spiritually paralyzed because we're afraid of the changes that committing ourselves to an expanded sense of ourselves might lead to. We want to return to the familiar, even if it's limited. So I think this is where doubt comes in. If you like, this is the reason for doubting. But I just want to clarify what doubt is, what is meant by doubt in this context. I think there are two kinds of doubts, or two modes of doubt. The first is a healthy, critical kind, a critical attitude, a demand that opinions or views are backed up with clear reasoning and even evidence, where appropriate, an unwillingness to simply be gullible and accept things because someone says it's true or says it's so. So a desire to investigate, test, clarify, and understand is a very positive kind of doubting. A critical attitude can be very valuable. But there's another kind of doubt, which is more to do with avoidance than it is to do with genuine inquiry and desire to pursue the truth. In its crude form, this kind of doubt becomes skepticism, which is a refusal to even accept the possibility of anything being true. Maybe the reason why we want to do this, why we're skeptical, is because we don't want to change. So if we take on a view that feels uncomfortable, we would have to change. So better to dismiss the whole lot, just write it off, be clever and skeptical. I don't think this kind of doubt is really a question of intellectual integrity, although it's often dressed up as such. It's more about emotional resistance. And I think this is quite interesting, that actually what often are presented as intellectual issues and problems are actually emotional resistances. They're not genuinely, or they're not solely, intellectual doubts. They have an emotional component to them, which may be the most significant component in some cases. Actually, the Dharma is very, very simple. It doesn't take much to understand it, really. We don't need much hardware, if you like, to get our heads around the basic Buddhist teachings. Maybe we could stick with cherish the doctrine, live united, radiate love. Maybe that would be enough. Just reflect on that and nothing else would be needed. And yet, it's not enough. Well, it doesn't seem to be enough. We can hear those words, but it doesn't all fall into place. We don't radically transform our lives. Why not? Well, because there are forces within us that don't want to change. Deep forces. And we can't just reason them away. We have to wear away at them over quite a long period of time. We have to practice over a long period to undermine these resistances. So I think even for quite a lot of our spiritual lives, we're going to be working with a part of our mind that's saying, I'm not sure whether this is true. I've got doubts about this. I've got real, meaningful, penetrating questions about whether this is really true or not. And in clear moments, in clear lucid moments, we've got no doubts at all. We know it's true. But we don't really want to go along with it, or we don't really want to follow through the implications of it. At least this is what happens in my mind. I know what I need to do, but somehow doing it is another thing. And I come up with all sorts of reasons why it is that I can't or shouldn't do what I need to do.